Welcome back. This is our second session of Friends Bible Study. Today we're going to look at John chapter 4, verses 16 to 27, entitled Jesus Continues Talking to the Woman at the Well. Last time we talked about the first part of this conversation. I want to emphasize again our four-step approach to Friends Bible Study. Read, write, share, and listen. Every week I receive notes and emails from people doing Friends Bible Study. They're growing and on fire for the Lord, and what each of them share from their meditation is very rich. I wished I could share them all with you. Last time I emphasized John chapter 4, 23 and 24. The hour has come, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to be his worshipers. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I emphasized last time that our meditation on the Word of God is not just an intellectual study, but it's an interaction with the living God. And it begins by acknowledging his presence and worshiping him. That's why we always begin by preparing our hearts to hear the Word of the Lord together in this audio part. But I want to encourage you every day to begin with worship and honoring the Lord as the Lord of all and asking him to help us as we study. So let's pray together. Thank you, Father. We do worship you. We want to be true worshipers and ask that you would help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you that you've made relationship with you possible through the cross. And we pray that you would open our eyes today to learn wonderful things from your word. Let us hear your voice and understand your word. And may the glory of Christ be revealed in the sharing of his word. So beginning with verse 16, John chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You said, well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and he whom you are now you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." So why do you think Jesus brought up the woman's sins? Do you think she felt condemned or judged by Jesus when Jesus did this? This is one of the meditation questions. It says in John 1:17, "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Jesus didn't judge this woman according to the law. She surely knew that she had failed and had sinned. I think most people have guilt and shame over the things that they have done wrong. They usually don't need to be convinced that they're sinners, which comes across often as judgmental and condemning. When the woman said, "I have no husband," Jesus said, "You have had five husbands." She needed to accept the truth about her life, but also needed the grace that would give her hope that she was still valuable to God. Jesus is full of grace and truth, and I think that Jesus was able to confront her without condemning her. By the way, I believe that Jesus had what many would call a word of knowledge, and somehow knew that this woman had been married five times, and the man she wasn't living with at the time was not her husband. We'll discuss this more later, but Jesus lived as a human being just as we lived, and everything he did through his relationship with the Father. Christianity presents a twofold revelation: the revelation of who God is, primarily through Jesus and the Word of God, and the revelation of who we are. The two are related. No one has ever seen God unless he or she has also seen himself or herself as a sinner. This has been the experience of all who have seen him. Peter, for example, when he met Jesus, immediately said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And one who has never really seen himself or herself, unless God has revealed the true state of his or her heart to them. Christianity begins by bringing people to the truth about their depraved condition but it does so to convince them of their need for Jesus Christ and to prepare them for understanding who he is and what he's done for them by his death and resurrection. Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." So Jesus came for people like this woman, not people that thought they were already righteous. It is only when you and I have recognized the nature of sin and what it means that we can be healed. At this point, all the woman knew that all her thoughts and actions were exposed before Jesus was able to tell her everything she'd ever done. Both Old and New Testaments point out the reality and seriousness of our sin. It's written in Isaiah 53:6, for example, "All we like sheep have gone astray and turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We have all strayed away, gone our own way, and disobeyed the Lord. But Jesus took all the sin upon himself." In the New Testament, the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 1:10, "If we claim we haven't sinned, we can make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us." This is the gospel. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We deserve damnation and judgment, but through Christ, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. The gospel, like Jesus, is full of grace and truth. Jesus confronts our sin without judgment and condemnation because he was judged on the cross for our sins. My wife heard the gospel many times and understood it. However, one day she understood her sin. She said, "I understood that my sins put Jesus on the cross. Then I believed and received Christ as my Lord and Savior." The next section, verses 19 to 24, Jesus answers the woman's questions about religion. The woman said to him, "Sir, I have perceived that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." This woman asked what I call the religious question. When we talk to many people in Japan or in other Asian countries, they typically say something like, "Just as there are many roads that go to the top of Mount Fuji, so there are many ways to God. All religions are essentially the same. They all lead to God." In most cases, the people who say this do not believe or follow any religion. They ask the religious question to fog over the possibility that there is absolute truth determined by the one and only true God. The woman at the well asked the religious question in verse 9. Our forefathers worshipped at this mountain, but you Jews worship in Jerusalem. Her problem was not the place of worship, but that she did not really know who God is and what true worship is. She did not know what she was worshiping. This is true of most people today. In Japan, there are said to be 8 million gods. People go to Shinto shrines and Buddhist temples. They close their eyes, clap their hands, and it looks like they're praying. But if we ask, "Who are you praying to?" they do not know. For most people, they're wishing. They want to connect to nature or to some positive force. Most follow rituals like this because everyone else is doing it, and they hope that something good will come of it. The woman at the well did ask the religious question, but her opinion of Jesus had been upgraded from a strange Jewish man to the point where she said, "Sir, I believe you're a prophet." She was about to make the jump to light speed in her understanding of who Jesus is. Verse 21, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when neither this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship that which you don't know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour comes and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to be his worshipers. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. What does worship in spirit and truth mean? God wants to be honored in worship. He seeks true worshipers that will worship in spirit and in truth. We can worship God anywhere if our hearts are right before him. We need to understand that he is the one true God and the ruler of all things. He provided a way that we can come before him through the sacrifice of his son. He took upon himself the guilt and punishment of our sins so that we can freely come into his presence and to worship him from the heart. True worship is not a place or a ritual, but it's not a matter of a place or a ritual, but of faith, love, and sincerity of heart. It's an attitude of the heart. True worship is not a form or a style of music, but it is offering our lives and pure devotion to God, who gave everything for us. As it says in Romans 12:1, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. Worship is not just words. It's the offering of our lives and our heart, our devotion from the heart to God. True worship is not an activity, obligation, or ritual that we do by ourselves. It is based on honoring the living God for who he is. Worship is communion with him, not a ceremony or something we do alone. We don't worship a God who is somewhere far away in outer space. We worship God who lives among us and in us. The Father is seeking worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants us to know him, to love him, and to live in him. Worship is a part of our relationship with him, not a religious activity for him. God is our Father, who loved us so much he gave his son to die for us so that we could have this love relationship with him. God is a spirit. He wants us to worship him, not because he needs to be exalted, but because we are created to worship him and know him. God is seeking for true worshipers who love him and worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants our hearts, not outward, form-only worship. In verse 25, it says, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah, that the Messiah comes, who is called Christ. When he has come, he will declare to us all things. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who speaks to you. Well, I'm sure this was a shock and a revelation that came to this woman who believed, I think, when Jesus spoke to her, that this was true. The Samaritan woman began thinking that Jesus was, began by thinking Jesus was just a strange Jewish man. Then she came to think he was a prophet. And as this conversation went on, she listened to Jesus talk about God and true worship and came to believe that Jesus indeed is the Messiah. More than what Jesus said, I think her heart was moved by Jesus himself. She saw both grace and truth, confrontation without condemnation, love, acceptance, mercy, and compassion in Jesus. Through this conversation, this woman had a revelation of her own sinfulness and of the love and grace of Jesus. Jesus came to the Samaritan woman, who was undoubtedly rejected, looked down upon, ostracized by many, and he comes to each of us. He came for those who are tired and thirsty and says, come to the water and drink. I offer you living water to cleanse your soul and fill your heart and life with joy and love. Jesus knows about your sins, but still comes to you and offers you living water. He offers to forgive your sin and fill your heart with his own life. Jesus is full of grace and truth and mercy. He exposes our sins so that he can forgive and heal us. Now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus will forgive your sins and invites you and all to come to the and drink freely of the water of life today. As we reflect on the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, how she came to believe in Jesus, may God fill us with compassion for the lost. May he fill us with faith to boldly share the gospel of Christ with our friends and loved ones. Thank you, Father, for your compassion, for coming into this world and revealing yourself to us and coming to this Samaritan woman. And you come for those who are sinners, who have failed. You've come for the sick, not for the healthy, for sinners and not for the righteous. You came for us. And may this gospel be revealed all over the world. And the eyes of peoples be open and their hearts filled with your love and with faith in you. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.